Okay, guys, it's my turn.
You can't go. You're dead. I shot you 5 moves ago.
Yeah, I told you you can't shoot people.
I told you we're way past rules. We have been for some time now. I start having rules now, everything we built collapses.
Well, this is stupid, and I want my money back. Where's the money?
Yeah, where is it?
Okay, you know what? I am never, ever playing games with you two again. And that is Dallas.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, episode 19. Ethan and Weiss here with you once again. Gotta take care of the housekeeping. You guys should already know the drill by now. First, go follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Go follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Go follow the blog at GothamSN. I preach it every week, guys. Please, please, please subscribe to us either on iTunes or Audio Boom. You'll find the iTunes link on my Twitter. Should be on Weiss's Twitter. I'll also post the Audio Boom link. If you're not on iPhone, you can go to Audio Boom, enter your email address, and you'll get notifications every time a new episode drops. So every Wednesday morning, put your email in there. Subscribe if you're on an iPhone. Listen to us every week. We really appreciate it. Last thing, and Weiss, I don't think I prepped you on this, but I'm going to do it right now before we start. It has been, I guess I've noticed through looking at our podcast analytics that we have an okay amount of international viewers from all across Europe, some from Canada, some from Mexico, all over the United States as well. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a game, and hopefully it'll help us. It'll help you guys. If you are an international listener and you are listening on iTunes, I want you to leave us a review and shout out where you're from. And if you do that, we'll check the reviews before next episode and we'll give you a shout out in return because we appreciate every listen, but especially our international and overseas Giants fans and listeners. So we really appreciate you guys. So go ahead, leave us a review, give us 5 stars, tell us where you're from, and we'll give you a shout out in the next episode. That's all the housekeeping. Weiss, how about them Cowboys? Woo! How about them Cowboys? Oh my God, what a game, what a week. A lot to discuss, a lot to get into. We really didn't plan that much going into the show. Honestly, we're so happy. We've done our research. We kind of know what angles we want to take on each different aspect of the game. I usually start, so let's flip the script a little bit. You can pick any area you want to talk about. Game flow, offense, defense, special teams. Go ahead, you can tackle it. We'll get to the Lions later on in the episode.
Well, I think I should go first since I was the one that picked the Giants to win last week.
Right? Okay, all right. You know what? Fine. If we're going to do this, my words have never tasted so good. I am happy to admit that I was wrong and that the Giants were going to lose last week. They did not. They won. And as a matter of fact, and I honestly, I do this quite a bit. I hedge my happiness where I'll put a small bet on the opponent the Giants are facing. So in the event they lose, it's like, oh, okay, well, at least a little extra cash in the pocket. So Giants win. I was wrong. Lost a little money, but it's all good in the neighborhood. All right, now we got that out of the way, and you can shame me for picking against the Giants. I'll let you take it away.
Well, I think, you know, first of all, what a game.
What a game.
Atmosphere. What an atmosphere. That felt like a playoff game. And listen, this game was all about the New York Giants defense.
100%.
This performance by Steve Spagnuolo's defense was reminiscent of the performance the Giants put together in Super Bowl 42. I have never seen a Giants game plan execute so perfectly like I did last week. Outside of maybe 4 or 5 plays, this Giant defense shut down a top 5 offense. They shut down a rookie quarterback that was walking into MetLife Stadium, that had many people had already handed him the MVP award. Many people had already handed the running back the Rookie of the Year award, and they shut them down. The play of the New York Giants defense, top to bottom. I mean, on the defensive line, losing Jason Pierre-Paul. I'm not going to lie to you, even watching early on in this game, you know, seeing the success that the Cowboys were having, the few times running, I really was missing Jason Pierre-Paul. But throughout the game, you just saw a young guy like Romeo Okwara just grow right in front of you and throughout this whole game, and he had a monster game. You talk about guys like Damon Harrison, who was brought here for this reason. You talk about Olivier Vernon, and one thing I want to say about Olivier Vernon, the guy plays every snap. The guy gives it his all on every snap. And yet every time his name gets brought up, people want to talk about his contract. And people want to talk about how much he's getting paid. But if you just push that aside, stop worrying about his pocket, and just watch how he performs on the field, you understand why he has that contract. This performance by his defense, and Janoris Jenkins, what season is it? Can you tell me what season it is?
Weiss, I hate to break it to you. Clamp season never ends. So it's always clamp season, baby. It's always clamp season.
Well, I was going to say tis the season, but
tis the season to clamp.
Janoris Jenkins. He is becoming one of my, if not my favorite New York Giant players. He is playing on another level right now. If he does not make the Pro Bowl, the NFL should just cancel the Pro Bowl altogether. And I'm not talking about an alternate. This guy has played lights out. He should be in the Pro Bowl. I cannot find two cornerbacks that have played better than Janoris Jenkins, and it's hard for me to find one right now. Just an unbelievably dominating performance, especially in the second half. Ezekiel Elliott was taken out of the game, literally, on those final two drives. They made Dak Prescott look one-dimensional. And like I said, Prescott was coming into MetLife Stadium as the MVP, according to many people. And those same people on Monday morning were writing articles about whether it's time the Cowboys go back to Tony Romo. With that said, I'll pass it on to you.
You hit the nail on the head for a bunch of points that I wanted to make. I mean, all right, here's what I'm going to start with before I get into individual performances. Do we agree defense wins championships?
I think I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Of course defense wins championships.
There you go. Defense wins championships. Last year, and listen, okay, I may be getting a little ahead of myself, but you know what? I'm excited. The Giants just beat the Cowboys, and I'm going to say it anyway. This is a Super Bowl defense in every way imaginable. And all you got to do is look at the numbers. And honestly, I was saving this portion for when we were talking about the Lions, but I'm going to read it now anyway. They're tied for second with the fewest passing touchdowns allowed. They're tied for seventh with most interceptions at 13. They're third in the league, allowing only 3.6 rushing yards per attempt. And their red zone defense for touchdowns is first. Despite all that, and this is the only bad statistical mark against the defense, is that they're 14th in total yards allowed. However, that is because their offense is 30th in time of possession, meaning that the defense is on the field way more than pretty much every other defense in the league. So that's what I attribute the total yardage to. If you look at the smaller metrics, like their run defense and the touchdowns allowed and their red zone efficiency, they are one of the top units in the league. And a few weeks ago, and I know you tried to disagree with me, when I said that I thought the Giants were a better matchup for the Cowboys than the Seahawks were. I mean, Russell Wilson has two touchdowns and eight interceptions over his last few games, so we're not going to get into Russell Wilson. But this defense is playing at a championship caliber level. And we saw it last year where you have a hot defense and one of the top units in the league in the Broncos who can mask the inefficiencies of noodle arm Peyton last year in the playoffs. And here we go. We've got another Manning whose offensive production is less than spectacular, but he's got a Super Bowl caliber defense behind him. We'll get into Eli and the offense in a little bit because it needs to improve, and I do want to talk about it. But since we're starting with the defense, I want to talk individually for a second. Romeo Okwara. Unbelievable. Unbelievable performance out of him all game, whether it was run defense, rushing the passer. He got there. He had his first NFL sack. And like you tweeted earlier, would have had a second if not for a Doug Free hold.
Doug Free holds every play.
Okay.
This man is ridiculous.
Yep. So aside from that, unbelievable. Now, we did get a question. I don't know who it was, but I'm sure I'll shout them out later. Someone asked me if Kennard is reminding me of Justin Tuck in a way. I say no. I think Romeo Okwara reminds me of Justin Tuck in a way. Why? Size comparison and the way that they play. If you look at the way Romeo Okwara plays, he's a big pass rusher, and one of my favorite third down schemes, I guess, or personnel sets, rather, that Spagnuolo threw out there was kicking Okwara inside at defensive tackle with Kennard rushing the passer. That was an awesome set, and I think because Okwara can play that well inside, because he's got the size and he's got the speed and the quickness to penetrate, he's just very versatile. You know, especially for an undrafted free agent who received basically no playing time so far this season, to come in here against what is undoubtedly the top offensive line in the league and get that sort of production is unbelievable. I want to talk about Devin Kennard for a little bit, because I wrote in the Big Blue Hangover, and you can chime in here, I think he's finally found his place on this team.
I agree.
He's always had the speed, never really truly fit in at linebacker. He was injured. He was okay as a coverage guy. When you kick him up to the line and let him rush the passer, that seems to be where he excels. And I want to see him put in that position more often than we previously thought. Now, I want to ask you something, because I wrote about it and I spoke to my dad was like, get out of here, because it's sort of a negative comment, but sort of a backhanded compliment. Why, with the production we saw out of Kennard and Okwara, and even Kerry Wynn had a good game, why run OV and JPP into the ground so early on if you have, you know, pretty good production from your backups? I don't know why Spags would do that. It's something that we spoke about earlier about Vernon and JPP breaking down, but it's still exciting to see that even with JPP down, that we can still get production from the line. The secondary, unbelievable. Now you got articles coming out about how they're the best secondary in the league. Sure, you're not going to find me disagreeing. DRC playing the slot was great. Landon Collins still in conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. And then you got, of course, clamp season, Jack Rabbit playing phenomenal football. Held Dez to only one catch, which he fumbled on. Had the play on the final play of the game for the good pass defended, I guess you would qualify it as. Hit the ground, game over. He's been unbelievable. Definitely Pro Bowl consideration. Should be a lock for the Pro Bowl. Let me correct myself there.
If he's on the Pro Bowl, just cancel the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Just cancel it.
And then, you know, I'm really not sure what much more there is to say about Damon Harrison and Olivier Vernon that hasn't already been said by me, by you, on Twitter, in blogs. I mean, they're unbelievable. And for the idiots, and it truly is only the morons or the biased NFC East fans of the Eagles, the Redskins, and the Cowboys who call Olivier Vernon overrated are just too goddamn stupid to look at any number outside of sack total. Because his run defense, and I said this last year, and it was the reason I said that he wasn't overpaid when they brought him in here, his run defense is next level for a 4-3 defensive end. His edge, he can set the edge, he can get to the passer, and there was one great play against Tyron Smith where he just shed him and tackled Zeke Elliott for no yard gain. I believe it was in the fourth quarter. His run defense is unparalleled, so get the fuck out of here with your overpaid and sack total nonsense. He was worth every single penny. So was Janoris Jenkins, and so was Damon Harrison. So, I've ranted enough. Now I'm going to give it back to you.
Okay, about this Olivier Vernon and this contract thing. People need to understand how the NFL free agency works. First of all,
Teach him.
The salary cap raises every year. So when a guy like J.J. Watt got paid 2-3 years ago, the salary cap, the value for a defensive end was different. If J.J. Watt were to, let's say, hit the free agent market and you got four or five teams bidding for his, you know, services, what happens to that dollar amount? It keeps going up. It keeps going higher and higher and higher. I'll give you 15 a year. I'll give you 15.5. I'll give you 16. I'll give you 17. That's how this thing works. If Von Miller hit the free agent market, he would have gotten way more money than he got. If, you know, any defensive player, great defensive player in the last couple of years hit the free agent market, that's what they have done. So when you get a B-list defensive end like Olivier Vernon, who, in my opinion, is playing like an A-list person right now, but a B-list defensive player hit the free agent market, you have four or five teams bidding for his services. Hypothetically speaking, if Von Miller, J.J. Watt, Olivier Vernon, Jason Pierre-Paul, if these guys all hit the free agent market at the same time, obviously J.J. Watt would get more money than the other ones. Obviously Von Miller would get more money than Vernon. But the NFL is set up where it's so hard for these star players to become free agents that when a guy like Vernon does, who's a B-list player, as some people say, he's going to get A-plus money. That's just how it works. People need to understand that. And when they understand how that is, then they will understand why Olivier Vernon got what he got and J.J. Watt got what he got, or Von Miller didn't get how much he could have got. It's pretty simple science. You say he's overpaid, but there's four or five teams out there that were bidding for his services all in the same price range. So I'm a little confused by what you mean by overpaid.
No, I mean, it's just idiots. It's really what it comes down to.
That's how it works. If a guy like Andrew Luck hit the free agent market, right, you think he got a big contract right now, a team would offer him part ownership. I'm serious.
Oh, yeah. No, you're 100% right.
This is how it works. If players hit the free agent market, A-plus players, especially a quarterback, they would get a lot more than what they got. You think Andrew Luck's contract was astonishing now? Imagine if he became a free agent and there was three, four, five, six teams bidding for his services.
It would be astronomical.
It would be beyond belief.
All right. So, we talked defense. Before we get to the offense, however, I want to talk about just the NFC East in general. Giants 9-4. They would need to win out and for the Cowboys to lose out. Is that correct? To win the East?
No. It's three games to go, and the Giants are up, or the Cowboys are up two games. So the Giants would need to go 1-2. The Giants need to go 2-1, and the Cowboys need to go 1-2. That way, both would finish at 12-4. And the Giants, because they swept them, would have a tiebreaker.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think it's out of the question. The Bucs defense has been playing pretty good, not up to the standard as the Giants. But if you think about how the Cowboys played the previous week against the Bucs. The Vikings. I mean, the Vikings fumbled that game away. The Giants defense and the Vikings defense have essentially provided the NFL with the blueprint to defeat Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott if they have the proper personnel. Now, not everyone's going to have the proper personnel because, obviously, I just brought up two of the top defensive units in the league. However, it can be done. The Bucs are hot. Their offense is better than the Giants at the moment. So, listen, if you're asking me, I think the Giants beat the Lions this week. And then I think the Bucs can beat the Cowboys. But hey, that's just me.
Well, yeah, you said personnel. I think to beat the Cowboys, the one you got to have a corner.
You need to have a fat run stopping tackle. You need to have a shutdown corner.
You need to be able to stop the run. You got to be able to keep Dak Prescott in the pocket, and you got to be able to play. You got to have a defensive backs that can cover for maybe longer than they have to. That's how you do it.
Yeah. All right. Enough of that. Shall we talk about the offense?
Oh my God
is right. All right. Where do you want to start? I want you pick an area and then I'll start because I don't know where to even begin.
I was watching the game over today. I had a nice cup of coffee next to me, watching the game. Let's just cut the nonsense. The offensive struggles start at the offensive line. There's a lot of inconsistencies on the offensive line right now. Specifically, the left tackle situation.
Number 74.
Eric Flowers.
Number 74.
Number 74. Yes. Had a rough, rough first half again. Specifically on a play where I really don't know what he was doing or what he was trying to do. But it got to the point where I just said, if you want to win, how can you put him back in the game? Now, they went into halftime. I don't know what they did in halftime. They made some adjustments. Came back out. And Eric Flowers, I'm not going to say was good. I'm just going to say it wasn't a liability in the second half. The Giants got their home run play from Odell Beckham. And, you know, Eli Manning, now listen. I don't think Eli Manning is washed up. I don't think his best football is behind him. I just think Eli Manning, really, at this stage, is just playing bad. He's having a rough season. There are times where he makes good throws. There are times when he doesn't. But at some point, people like you, Ethan...
I was waiting for this. I was waiting for this since you started. I was waiting for it. No, give it to me. Give it to me.
Okay. Need to stop telling me that he doesn't trust his offensive line. Fine. He doesn't trust his offensive line. But that is not an excuse. He had two interceptions in that game. I'm not even going to talk about the fumbles. I'm not even going to get into that. Okay? I'm not even getting into the one play where the ball just dropped out of his hand. I don't want to talk about that. There were two or three times where he threw the ball literally at the Cowboys defender's chest. There was one with Barry Church on the sideline. I don't know how he didn't pick it off. And there was another one with Justin Durant where he threw it directly at Justin Durant. You know what the crazy thing about it is? And this is what I absolutely hate when people tell me that, it's the offensive line can't block. On both the interceptions, Eli Manning had a clean pop. By the way, on the play where he threw the pick, where he was going for Victor Cruz, that was Eric Flowers' best block of the night. Go back and watch the play. That was Eric Flowers' best block of the night, and Eli Manning still threw a pick. The man is playing bad, and we need him to play better. Yes, I understand the offensive line is bad. Yes, I understand the Giants have no running game. But I still need more. He has thrown for fewer than 200 yards in three straight games. I need more from Eli Manning. I need more. And I need people like you to stop being apologists for him.
Nope. There it is. I was waiting for the A word.
I hate it when I criticize Eli Manning and people bring up the offensive line. I hate it. I didn't criticize Eli Manning when Eric Flowers whiffed on a block and Eli Manning fumbled. I didn't, because I understood there's nothing he can do. But on some of these interceptions and these throws, it's like, oh my God. If you want me to lie, I'll lie. People want me to lie, I'll lie. But the man is not playing good enough. So you can go ahead and tell me, yeah, you're right, but this, that. So go ahead.
You guys can't see me right now, but I have a shit-eating grin on my face. Because I was waiting for, I guess, 20 minutes now for Weiss to use the A-word. Apologist. I am not an Eli Manning apologist. I came out after the game yesterday and said that Eli needs to play better. I acknowledged the three throws that should have been picked off. Eli Manning did not have a good game. That's just a fact. He had a bad game. But.
Oh my God.
But. The offensive line the run game, the lack of a tight end, Victor Cruz playing shitty football, and a predictable offense, he has essentially, outside of Odell Beckham Jr., no help on this offense. And you will see next year, they're going to upgrade one or hopefully both tackle positions. They're going to hopefully start giving Paul Perkins a majority of the carries. Victor Cruz will probably no longer be a Giant and will have a legitimate threat on the outside. And who knows, they may finally spend a first-round pick on Howard or Butt, a tight end. We agree. Eli Manning's best football is not behind him. We saw last year, he is capable of putting up prolific numbers, putting up good numbers. I don't care if it was because of the fact that his defense is 32nd. He has shown that if given a diverse set of play calls and personnel sets, that he can have success. He has received close to no help from anyone else on this team. He played some poor football this season. I will admit it. I'm saying it right now, loud and clear. Eli Manning has not played well this season. However, if given the help, this would not be the case. End Eli Manning rant.
Let me ask you a question. You say, get this, get that, get him this, get him that. Do you think every single offense in the NFL doesn't have a flaws?
Of course they do.
So when you say, well, if we get a tight end for Eli, if we get, you know, a left tackle that's serviceable, he's going to just play better. That's not – the man is throwing into triple coverage.
Okay, listen. I said he wasn't playing well. Let me ask you this. You have people like Andrew Luck, okay. Aaron Rodgers,
okay.
Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Top quarterbacks in the league. Would you agree that, okay, let's scrap this year. Should Eli Manning be in the conversation with these guys?
All time or just, are we talking right now? One season.
Let's say all time. Let's say last four years.
Last 4 years, including the Super Bowl?
Including the Super Bowl. Okay.
Well, there was a year where he threw 27 interceptions.
And 8 of them bounced off receivers' hands.
Fine, fair enough. We can do that since everyone wants to excuse Russell Wilson's 5 interceptions.
Sure.
Which, that's fine, okay. He had a rough year 2013. 12 was okay. 11 was, I think, his best year of his career. The last 2 years have been well statistically, but the team is bad. I mean, I say Eli Manning is up there. Look, I don't think that Eli Manning is, again, I don't think he's all of a sudden a bad quarterback. I still think he can turn it on over these last couple games and he'll be red hot Eli again. I do think he does need help as well. But it's hard for me to say, you know what, it's just not his fault when the majority of the time he makes a bad throw, he has a clean pocket. It's just hard for me to do that. I understand there might be some trust issues on the offensive line. I understand, you know, the running game is non-existent. I get all that. But, you know, even on that fumble, that happens. I've seen that happen to quarterbacks all the time. Look, it's wet. The ball, it's cold. The ball's wet. It happens. Look, I'm not sitting here, and we shouldn't sit here and just look at that and say, well, how about that play? No, that happens. But I just think that there is this level that Eli can go to, where I've seen him go to, where I just don't see him doing it right now. If you watched, what made Eli great that year in 2011? What made him great, you know? The offensive line wasn't great that year. 2007 was great. 2011 was not so great. It was better than what he has now, but it wasn't a great offensive line. What made him so great in 2011 was his ability to move around in the pocket, his footwork. That's what made him great. But right now, I just see him drop back, and it's like, first read, I'm throwing. Second read, oh, first read's not there. Second read, I'm throwing no matter what. When it's like, okay, Eli, maybe you should not throw it right away. Or, you know, maybe you should not throw it there.
Now, here's...
Go ahead.
Okay. So you're comparing 2011 Eli to current Eli. Now, 2011, we have Gilbride, offensive coordinator. Totally different offense. Way more deep balls, way more play action. Right now, you have a bad offensive line and an offense that basically requires Eli Manning to 3-5-step drop back, get the ball out of his hands quickly. That's just fact. That's what the West Coast offense is. That's how McAdoo runs things. So you're comparing 2011 style offense, which requires Eli Manning to drop back more play action, more maneuvering of the pocket, more time to find an open guy, as opposed to the West Coast offense, which you got McAdoo running the same personnel set 92% of the time. So not only does the defense already know the personnel that's going to be out there, not only does it limit the route tree, but it also takes longer for these receivers to get open because the offense is so predictable. So you have a bad offensive line where there's constant pressure in his face. You have an offense that requires him to get the ball out of his hand quickly. But then alternatively, you have the same personnel set and predictability limiting his receivers the ability to get open. So listen, I understand the arguments. I've seen the passes too. It's been incredibly easy for defenses this year to scheme the linebacker underneath or hide the safety over top so that when Eli Manning goes to that first read like the offense requires him to, then the guy's right there. And Eli should see that and should audible out of it, should hold the ball a little longer, step up in the pocket. Absolutely. But there are so many flaws with this current offense that it's hard for me to say, fuck Eli Manning. This is ridiculous. He needs to play better, but he needs help.
By no means am I saying fuck F Eli Manning. No way. He's going to be here next year, 100%.
And the year after that,
If you have any limitations, this is for anybody listening, and please pass this along to anyone else that's listening as well. If you have any doubt in your mind that Eli Manning is going to be a quarterback next year or the year after, maybe not the year after, let's just talk about next year, you can do me a favor.
Chug cement.
Yes, or something with the equivalent of that. I was going to say you can jump off a bridge.
Okay, play in traffic.
Yeah, or play in traffic or do whatever. Listen, they got to... That's why when some people say, oh, we got to just plug in a left tackle, we just got to go get ourselves a tight end. I think it's more than that. We talked about it last week. I think McAdoo this offseason has got to consider getting another coordinator in there and kind of renovate this offense, man. It's a lot of work to do. I like what they've done defensively. I think it's hard for me to not like it. I like what they've done. Not just the big money free agents, but you know, these draft picks, these late draft picks that everyone seems to think that the Giants don't have are starting to blossom a little bit. Kennard, you know, is found his role. Undrafted guys, Andrew Adams, you know, acquired. So I think on the offense this offseason, that's what they got to turn the attention to. They got to figure out ways to help Eli Manning. I think he is getting older. We have to accept that. They have to, I think, change up their style from being not a pass-heavy team. They could be a pass-first team, but not a pass-heavy team, but more of a team that runs the football. I will say this. In the second half, they did run the football a lot better, not just yardage-wise, but blocking was a lot better.
And yes, I noticed that too.
People are not going to like this, but
I know what you're going to say.
The team's best run blocker
74.
In the second half was Eric Flowers. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, I know there was a couple plays where he kind of whiffed when he had to bounce out and get Sean Lee, but he also had another block where he absolutely dismembered Sean Lee. So listen, with Eric Flowers, this is my thing on him for the rest of the year, and I'm not making any guarantees that he's going to be good or he's going to be serviceable for the rest of the season. I just want Eric Flowers that when he takes two or three steps forward in his development, that he does not take 10 steps back. When he plays a good game...
It's a lot to ask for.
When he plays a good game or an okay game, right? Okay game. Not even good. Let's just say okay. When you play an okay game, don't turn around the next week and have a terrible game. be serviceable. That's all I ask, and not take steps back. I don't even care if you improve game to game. Just when we see, okay, Eric Flowers played, you know, serviceable this week. I don't want to come back the next week and say, oh, yeah, another bad game. I don't want to see your gifts of, you know, his stance. I'm serious. That's all I want to see.
All right,
that will help the offense a lot.
So let me say this. Can we agree that based on how things are going and just kind of just knowing the Giants, that the offensive line configuration is not going to change outside of plugging in Justin Pugh when he's healthy, correct?
Yes, and when you think about it for a second, I don't think they should.
Right. Now,
I don't think you can do that. I think it's good to play around with it and talk about, you know, moving Flowers inside and Pugh outside, but I think if they could do that, at this point they would have done it.
So here's...
They can't do that. They can't.
All right, so I acknowledge that essentially nothing's going to change. 74 is going to trot out there at left tackle every week, and that's fact. That's going to happen.
Right.
I have one alternative suggestion that I know is not going to happen, but I just want to throw it out there. I want to see what you think. I want to see what the people think. It's an alternative, and then I will get to realistic solutions that I think can be implemented that will not only help 74, but will also probably improve the offense. My offensive line configuration that I think would work, that would be a downgrade at one position and would provide us with okay, with a ceiling of good production at left tackle. And it involves benching Eric Flowers, because I don't think you can stick him at a position he's never played in a professional NFL game before.
Not a week 15 or 16.
Right. That's a discussion for the offseason, and I'm glad to have that discussion in late February and March.
And I can tell you that those discussions have already started.
100%. Dude, they've been happening all season. All right.
Yeah, they see what we see.
Exactly. All right. Here's my offensive line configuration. Bobby Hart, right tackle. John Jerry, right guard. Weston Richburg, center. Mm-hmm. Marshall Newhouse, left guard. Justin Pugh, left tackle.
What about keeping Pugh at left guard, moving Newhouse at the left tackle?
Listen, as much as it makes me want to puke everywhere, that is a thought that crossed my mind too while thinking about this, because he was awful at right tackle last year, and he's not someone I would want defending Eli Manning's blind side either. Here's my rationale. Newhouse has stepped in at guard with injuries to Pugh, and he's been serviceable. I'll say that.
Now, let's say this. Has he been better this year, playing-wise, performance-wise, as he was last year?
Now, are we taking into consideration the fact that he was right tackle last year and he's been playing primarily guard this year?
Performance-wise, yeah. Just this.
Yeah, I would say he improved. Do you disagree?
Yeah, I agree. I can agree with that.
Okay.
Do you think right now he could play left tackle better than Eric Flowers?
I don't know.
I think he can.
And my whole thing is, I think people are, because of how bad 74 was last year and including this year, I think people forget how bad Newhouse was at right tackle. Because
he was bad. Yeah, he was bad.
He was.
But I think, see, what Eric Flowers, let's talk about this for a second. What Eric Flowers' main struggles is he's been having the same style of play. I'm not even going to call it technique because I don't know what that is. It's been the same style of play since he was in high school. So he's been able to get away with it, mainly winning with his size and his height. But in the pros, what you have is you have guys that are, you know, much more flexible, much faster, much stronger, much smaller and stronger. They can get around him. And it's all mental with Eric Flowers at this point, where he has to learn how to use his hands properly. And, you know, a lot of people that I talk to, you know, they say it's all a mind thing, where he has to accept the fact that this is what he has to do. And if he does it, you know, and consistently does it, he will be better. So with that, you know, flout with Newhouse, I think Newhouse understands it because he was a left tackle, albeit an average low tackle, but he was a left tackle in Green Bay. Now, come here, and if you plug him in at left tackle, we just need him to not be a liability at this point, right?
And you're bringing it full circle back to what my initial point was going to be. Newhouse last year at right tackle, I would qualify as a liability, which is why 1 year later, at an arguably more difficult position on the left side, I don't want to put him in that position. I think this year, while he's played guard, he has not been a liability, which at this point in his career, I think is all you can ask of him. Now, if he hasn't been a liability at guard, and we can agree, Eric Flowers' biggest struggle is outside against speedy edge rushers. Yes. He has the size, the athleticism, the strength to be a very good run blocker. Listen, I've said it, you've said it, it's been shown on the tape. When he can get out there, he's a mauler, okay? Yeah, that's what he qualifies as. He's a mauler.
And the pass protection was having to go outside like that.
Right.
But like the main problem with him is that he doesn't have confidence in his hands.
Yep.
So when someone doesn't have confidence in their hands, what happens is you see him bend and you see the helmet come in. Why does he bend like that? Well, that's why he bends, is because he doesn't have the confidence in his hands where he can get a grasp of you, or not, I don't want to say hold, but he can get those claws on you, and he's able to then start, you know, pushing and start, you know, protecting the blind side of his quarterback. But with Flowers, it's just like, you know, he doesn't have the confidence in his hands, so he has to lunge forward and try to make he uses strength, upper body strength, to kind of throw you off. But what ends up happening is these guys are so fast coming off the edge that, you know, on that play, on that fumble, where it's just there's just no chance for him. But it's all a mental thing with Eric Flowers. Sure. That's why I'm not, a lot of people want to quit on him. I'm not quitting on him. I do think that they need to reevaluate the situation after this year, but I'm not quitting on Flowers, calling him a bust. I think, let me ask you a question. If Eric Flowers makes the switch to guard or right tackle or whatever, and he plays well, I'm not even going to say Justin Pugh level great, but if he becomes a good guard in the NFL, right?
Sure.
Would you look at the pick still as a failure?
That's an interesting question.
Knowing how difficult it is to get good offensive linemen in the NFL.
I think it's a more long-term question, because at the end of the season, potentially, Eric Flowers is halfway done with his rookie contract. Unless he picks it up and starts playing well, I don't know why this team would exercise the option for the fifth year. Now,
if he's like this, there's just no way.
There's no way. However, if he were to make the successful transition to guard, or all of a sudden, miraculously, turn into a serviceable to good left tackle in the league, and he gets an extension, and for his second contract, he is a great guard, great run blocker, sure, I would say the pick is okay, all things considering. But at the moment, obviously disagree. I think at left tackle, I think he's smaller and more speedy than someone like Eric Flowers, so he would have more success against the speedier edge rushers, which is where number 74 struggles.
Yeah, he's struggling right now, and I feel really bad for him. Man, he's still a young kid, man, and just seeing some of the stuff people write about him, I feel bad for him, man. It's tough, man. In this city, you playing bad like that, everyone's pointing the finger at you, deservedly so. It's tough, man. I can't say I don't feel bad for him.
Sure. I mean, listen, professional league, he's getting paid a lot of money.
I will say this.
If you're wishing physical harm or ill upon him, then you can fuck right off with that. As much as I dislike him and the, you know, number 74 and the not my left tackle, I don't wish injury or...
I saw some stuff on there. Why doesn't he break his leg? Or
if you want to say he sucks and he's the biggest bust in Giants draft history and I don't want him on my team anymore, cool. That's fine. I say it. You can say it. Just don't keep the physical, family. Keep that stuff out of it.
Yeah, that's uncalled for. But now, anyways,
I wanted to get to, unless you wanted to continue, I wanted to get to realistic solutions for the offense.
I mean, to be honest, man, I don't even know.
Listen, they are what they are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They are what they are, man.
But there's always
I'm going to say one thing, and I'll let you give me your but. The only thing you can hope for
That's going to be a soundbite, by the way.
the only thing you can hope for is somehow the offensive line doesn't become a liability, and Eli Manning does kind of get hot. Kind of like, remember in 2011 when
defense was struggling? He had comparable regular season stats in 2011 and in 2007 before he reached this playoff stretch.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is, remember in 2011 where the defense was struggling throughout the year?
Yeah.
And the offense was carrying him. And then later on in the year, week 16, I think it was, the defense started to pick it up, and that's when everything got hot and they went into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Hopefully something like this with the offense where it's been struggling all year, but they find their groove and they're able to go into the playoffs hot and make a run at this thing. But other than that, man, I don't know.
Yeah. Listen, because at the end of the day, they are what they are. Okay, they're not going to turn all of a sudden into some prolific offense. Can they maybe figure one thing out that works? Sure. For me, they need to do two things. And these two things can, honestly, they can improve the offense a lot. And I'm going to give suggestion number one, which I've been saying for weeks. Paul Perkins needs a majority of the snaps. He has proven to be not only and a very, very okay, too good pass protect running back. He clearly shows more zip and dodge and shuffle and whatever ability you want to call it to stop on a dime, get around the defense, find the hole. He's quicker than Jennings. Jennings isn't the future. Okay, we're talking week 15, guys. If Perkins is really drafted to be the running back of the future for the Giants, they need to give him more carries. And we've seen him be more effective than Rashad Jennings in the running game. He needs majority of the carries. For me, that is step one. This plays into number two. They need to run the ball more. Because when they run the ball more, it helps Ereck Flowers. Because not only does he excel in run blocking, but if the Giants start running the ball more and doing so effectively, it's going to prevent these defenses from running wide nine formations, which the Redskins do and the Eagles do. So two teams coming up that the Giants have to face. They like to run the wide nine, and they're going to love to do it more so now that they know that that's where Flowers struggles. If they didn't know, now they know. They should have known. They know. So if you can run the ball more effectively, not only does it bring out Ereck Flowers' strength, but it'll help him in pass protection, and it'll help Eli Manning. The third, and also comes back to Ereck Flowers, 74, is more two tight end sets. They used it effectively last week and the week before. I have no idea why they don't do it more often. Throw Ty, throw Adams on either side of the tackles. Maybe throw Adams next to Flowers on the line. Throw Ty in the slot. It works. It throws the defense off because they're expecting the 11 personnel set. You expose matchups. And Jarrell Adams, if he's not blocking, he can chip the edge rusher and go out for a pass. And we've seen him be effective against linebackers in brief flashes this season. So, those are the three things I think the Giants need to do down the stretch to improve this offense. Are they going to turn into a top five offense all of a sudden? Absolutely not. Because they are what they are. They're limited by their personnel. They're limited by the personnel sets that their coach is calling. But I think that they don't need to be a prolific offense. All they need to be is an average offense, because with this defense, I truly believe they can make a playoff run. So they got to get it together, and those are my suggestions.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Did you have a problem with how many times they ran the ball in the second half?
No.
No? Me neither. I thought, look, they had some good runs in the second half. They did a good job there. They won the time of possession battle against Dallas.
That is key.
And that was because they were able to, they ran the football. I'm not going to say they were able to run the football, but they ran the football. I think, you know, what will help this offense too, like, they are what they are, but this came to mind when you were talking. They have to eliminate penalties, because this offense, it cannot survive a third and long.
Correct.
It can't. It cannot.
Even a second
cannot.
And long, they can't survive.
They can't survive second and long. Like, second and 20, they survived one where they got a screen to Shepard that went 17.
Miraculous that worked, yeah. By the way. We haven't seen that all season.
Right. So, but yeah, you can't get in long, second and longs, third and longs. You can't do this. They can't survive that. They have to stop the drop passes a lot. I mean, Beckham dropped two passes. Look, they should have scored 24 points Sunday. If Manning doesn't drop that pass or drop that ball and it's a fumble, that's a touchdown to Roger Lewis. He's open. Beckham doesn't drop that touchdown. That's 14 points right there.
These are points that I forgot to bring up, so keep going.
And you know what, the other one, the interception of Cruz, they were guaranteed at least three on that drive right there.
Yep.
So, you know, we're looking at 17 points right there. So that's why when I say execution is a big thing, and people say, it's play calling. No, it's execution first. Then we can talk about play calling and personnel and all that. But the main thing to me is they got to execute. They got to stop hurting themselves with these boneheaded penalties, these drop passes, these turnovers. And, you know, the last thing for me is I'm not saying they need to become, like, I'll piggyback off what you said. I don't think we're going to expect them to be a run-heavy team now, but they cannot abandon the run. They did a good job. They didn't abandon the run last week, even though it wasn't as effective, but they didn't abandon it. But they got to continue running the football, because it helps when their defense is on the sideline to catch their breath and, you know, they're not on the field for 40 minutes in a game. So they got to continue running the ball. And I agree, man. Perkins, man, you got to give him more snaps. Hopefully this Vereen concussion thing is not serious. I think he can also help. And obviously getting Justin Pugh back will help as well.
Yeah. Honestly, and...
Would you agree? Pugh got hurt in the Eagle game, right?
Right.
That Eagle game, that offense was moving very well.
No, it was. I think Pugh is key down the stretch. Here's where I feel like, personally, I disagree with you and a majority of the fan base. And maybe I'm totally wrong, and hopefully we get to see it down the stretch, and I would love to be wrong here. I think that Shane Vereen's presence in the offense is overstated. I think he can be very effective. But I honestly don't think that he's going to be a solution to a majority of the Giants' problems. I mean, that's just me. That, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here.
Well, I don't think he'll be a solution to a lot of the problem. But what it does is Vereen gives you a good pass catcher out of the backfield, a good pass protector, and a guy that can run the ball as well. And that's not...
He's basically a hybrid of Perkins and Jennings, if you think about it, I guess. Because he can do it all and be successful.
Exactly. And, you know, when you have him there, he also helps. Another thing he also helps, and this is very important, nobody realizes this. How many players on the Giants roster have playoff experience?
That's true.
Not a lot, right?
Not a lot.
So when you get a guy like Shane Vereen, who's... caught 10 passes in a Super Bowl in that locker room, in that huddle, on that sideline, that helps as well. Not a lot. I mean, that head coach doesn't have much playoff experience either. So it helps when you have a guy like Vereen there too. Some people don't really realize it, but it does help a lot.
Sure. No. I've been convinced. All right. Let's talk about the Eagles. God. Jumping a week. Let's talk about the Lions. Let me say something. And I said it last week, and I said it the week before, and at the time, I think you disagreed with me.
And I still do.
Okay, then that's fine. I think the Lions are being overrated. I won't say severely overrated. I think Matt Stafford's being overrated. I think that team in general is being overrated. The defense is being overrated. And it's kind of ironic that I see Giants fans telling me that complaining about how underrated the Giants have been all season, especially last week, considering they were 8-4, and even today being 9-4, they're starting to get more respect because they shut up the best offense in the league, and they did it on prime time. They got way more respect the past 2 days than they had all season, so the narrative has started to slow down a little bit. But let's not forget that people were talking about, oh, the Giants' offense stinks, they're pretenders, they're not a real 8-4, they had an easy schedule. Weiss, let me ask you something. What is the average point total differential? I'm phrasing this very poorly, so excuse me, guys. In the Lions' 9 wins, do you know by how much they beat these teams on average?
Not a lot. There's been a lot of...
3.75. That's the average. They've had wins by 1, by 3, by 6 and 7, anywhere in between, mostly low. Matt Stafford is in the MVP conversation for some people. No quarterback has won MVP without leading a top 5 offense. And the Lions' offense is 17th in points and 21st in yards. And they're going to come and they're going to put up these very average numbers against the Giants' defense? I mean, listen, maybe I'm getting cocky here, but I don't think that's possible.
You are getting cocky.
No, you know what? Let me be cocky. Let me talk about the defense real quick. The Lions' defense is 15th in total yards. They're 22nd in touchdown passes allowed at 23. And their defense gives up 4.3 yards per carry. So the Giants' defense is not only far and away better than the Lions' defense, but the Lions' offense isn't great. And if the Giants can beat the best offense in the league with Eli Manning playing like dog poo, then they should have no trouble with the Lions. And don't give me the fourth quarter comeback nonsense, because eventually that luck's going to run out. And if it's going to run out, it's going to run out against Jack Rabbit and Damon Harrison and Olivier Vernon and Romeo Okwara. I have never been more confident about the Giants going into a game this season than I am going into this week.
Look, I think you're being a little. The Lions do what the Giants do. They win games ugly. That's what they've been doing all year. But this team, Matthew Stafford's playing good football. I understand the whole, you know, you ran off some stats and. Is he playing MVP level? Yes, he is.
No way.
This year he was.
Eli Manning an MVP conversation in 2011 when he led all those fourth quarter comebacks? No.
He should have been. I thought he was the best quarterback in the league that year.
No. It's not going to happen. Not with an offense that middle of the road. You need to be good in every quarter, not just the fourth quarter, to be MVP.
In a year where the MVP conversation is very, very, very up in the year, and every week there seems to be a new person that enters the conversation, I think Matthew Stafford deserves some credit, and he deserves to be in the conversation. With that said, I know is it his throwing hand that's messed up? He's got a torn ligament. I think that's going to be key, and I think what could derail this Lions season could be that. He did not look good last week against Chicago. He threw some bad throws.
And he didn't even look good before the injury.
Oh, come on.
He didn't.
They went into New Orleans and shut down Drew Brees' offense in New Orleans. And New Orleans was riding high before that, too.
Okay.
This is a good look.
That's a good win. Giants shut down the best offense in the league last week. So they have a good win, too.
Of course. Twice they did it.
Twice.
Look, I think the Giants are a better team than the Lions. I do. But I do think the Lions have the ingredients to be one of those teams that could sneak up on, you know, Dallas down the in the playoffs. But I think the Stafford injury, it scares me. I think we'll see what it's like Sunday in the Meadowlands. I don't know what the weather's like, but it could play a factor.
Not only that, Giants 6-1 at home. I know I have spoken about the fact that MetLife doesn't really have a home field advantage because, I don't know, it's very corporate. Whenever I feel like I'm there, I feel like there's always a fair amount of the opposing team's fans there. However, that shouldn't matter because if the team is comfortable playing there, they're 6-1 at home, then listen, they've got a home field advantage.
Oh, yeah, of course. Especially when the Lions are coming to town. The Lions haven't played an outdoor game since... I believe I saw this earlier today. The Lions haven't played a game outdoors since. Wow.
Yeah, you're going far back, huh?
You got to go back there. I think it was at. Man, it was a while. I think it was when they were at Green Bay. Was the last time they played a road game.
So there you go.
Outdoors. So they have not been outdoors a lot, but they do have a good defense, and they got some pass rushers. They got guys that, you know, we talked about earlier, that are C, B list players, but, you know, we know what we got going on the offensive line. So they have the ingredients to beat the Giants and beat some other teams. I don't think they will someday, but I think they are a team that could make some noise in the NFC.
Let me say one more thing on the topic before we get to questions. By no means do I think it's going to be a blowout, because the Giants just don't have an offense capable of blowing anyone out. I think they win. That is what I'm confident about. Could it come down to the wire? Sure. I mean, look at the win average total, whatever, that stat that I brought up before between the two teams. Lions winning all their games by an average of 3.75. The Giants' average is probably 4. I don't know what it is. It's not much better. It's going to be a good game. It'll probably be close, but I am confident the Giants will pull it out. One more thing on Stafford. If you look at his stats compared to Eli this season, I mean, and we agree, Eli's having a bad season. Stafford has fewer than 200 more passing yards. Stafford has one fewer touchdown pass than Manning. And the quarterback rating difference is 10 points, which, considering how poorly Eli has played in these games, is truly, it's unbelievable. The biggest difference in their stats would be the number of interceptions. Obviously, Eli has more. And the number of times they've been sacked, which, as we've agreed on many times before, Giants' offensive line is not good. The lack of hit and sack total on Eli is more a result of the offensive scheme. So, listen, Stafford's not putting up great numbers. I personally think he's being overrated this season. I still think it's going to be a close game, but you did bring up a good point about the weather and the cold with the torn ligaments in his fingers and playing outside a dome. So I think that'll play a factor.
I mean, I don't even know if he's guaranteed to play this week. I mean, I know they're saying he's going to play through it, but we're going to see what happens. I wouldn't put it out of the picture for them not to play Stafford this week, knowing that, you know, maybe risk of injury, or, you know, knowing that they still have a game against Green Bay coming up. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying he's not going to play, but we should see what happens throughout the week.
Sure. All right, you want to get to some questions?
Let's do it.
All right, Chan, number one. By the way, we got to give Chan a shout out. I honestly don't know if that's your first name, Chan, but that's your Twitter name, so I'm going to call you Chan. You can let me know what your real name is if you want. And because I feel like we should give the question askers a little more love, Chan just set a record, our first official NYG Weekly podcast record, with 5 questions. So I don't know if we're going to get to them all, but shout out to Chan for being a loyal listener. He is probably listening to this in the gym right now. So shout out to you. All right, what is a safe number of wins to secure a wild card? Just win out. I mean, honestly, that's the safest thing you can do, is win out. I think if they win one more and get to 10 wins, I still think that gets them in the playoffs. The Bucks are hot. The Lions are 9-4. Two more definitely gets them there, I think. Two more
they clinch, I believe.
Okay, so two more they clinch. One more, I'd still say their chances are good. I still think there's a great chance the Giants win out.
Me too. And I think there's a great chance that they, not a great chance, but there is still a pretty decent chance that they could still win this division.
I don't want to get ahead of myself. I think it's possible. And before but we get
there,
to
there's a lot of stuff in Dallas going on that I just don't understand with this owner, who's putting a lot of pressure on this kid, Dak Prescott.
Yeah. It's
he keeps talking about Tony Romo.
I love it. I'm eating every second of it. Give me the controversy. Let Dak get rattled by it. Let him make mistakes. I love it. And can I, if I may, and I don't know if he's a loyal listener, he is definitely a loyal Twitter interactor. Can we shout out to Larry Soprano, who 2 weeks ago said the Giants weren't going to make the playoffs?
Yeah. He said a drink of my choice. I don't drink alcohol, but
there you go.
You can buy me a bottle of water or something.
He can buy me a beer. I tried to get in on it. I think he ignored me. But shout out to you, Larry, you negative Nancy. I said this earlier. Chan, second question. Does Okwara remind you of Tuck? I said yes.
Maybe. I think...
Undrafted, played one game, he played well. I'm not saying he's going to be Tuck. I'm saying his style reminds me of Tuck.
Sort of. I could see that. I think Vernon a little bit reminds me of Tuck, too, in terms of, you know, just the ability to play inside. And he just looks, it resembles a little more like Justin Tuck with the strength and all that. But, I mean, I could see Okwara. I got to see more of that, more of Okwara before I make that judgment.
Okay. If JPP is allowed to walk, are you comfortable with Okwara going forward? No. Got to sign JPP.
Listen. Every week I think I said this. This team, this general manager, this organization, they value pass rushers. So they are not, the more the merrier to their eyes. Okwara has no impact on what's going to happen with Pierre Paul.
Zero. All it shows is that they actually have depth, which is something that we both didn't think they had, which is awesome to find out.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not sitting there, you know, the owner and the general manager are not like, well, it's okay, Vernon and JPP can play every snap.
Yeah.
I'm sure depth is a good thing, you know?
It's a great thing. All right. Mo Amri is, what is the likelihood the Giants don't make the playoffs? 0%. They're making the playoffs.
There's a slim chance.
No, they're going to make the playoffs.
I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think this is a... They're going to make it, but, you know, if you're a guy that likes to reminisce of what 2010 was... Or 2012 was, you can look it up. But this late in, they're, 9-4?
Yeah.
There's a slim chance, but that slim chance is going to go away if they win Sunday versus Detroit.
Absolutely. Okay, we got Victoria. Hello, dear. Second week in a row. OBJ said this is a championship D with Pugh in line. Can Eli and the offense not mess up enough to give us a serious chance at a Super Bowl run? I say yes.
I hope.
I mean, listen, we talked about it earlier. I said the defense is Super Bowl caliber, and I truly believe that. And Denver won last year with Noodle Arm Peyton. So I think as long as the offense – and you said it too. The number of opportunities the Giants just screwed up due to lack of execution, I mean 17 more points. All they got to do is execute. Just execute.
13, 17 more points. They should have beat the Cowboys. I mean they should have – and those fumbles too. They were driving, and then they had those two fumbles – you know, Eli got rocked and he lost the ball. I mean, they could have got some points out of there too, you know. So I think it's execution, man. It just comes down to that.
Yeah.
You just got to execute better.
From Drew, do you think the Giants should give Beedy a chance? Do you think they will? I mean, listen, I've said before, I truly don't believe that he could be worse than 74, but I don't see him every week in practice and the Giants do. So quite frankly, I'm just going to tell you, I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, in that second quarter, I thought that they might make a switch. They were saying that Beedy was on the sideline talking to Flowers. I mean, who knows? I think it seems like the Giants sure hope they don't have to make that switch.
Yeah, agree. All right, this is an interesting question from Paul Joseph. Are you looking for a Bucks or a Cowboys loss this coming week? Because obviously a Bucks loss helps the Giants in the wild card race, and a Cowboys loss helps the Giants in the division. Listen, give me a Cowboys loss. I don't care. Give me a Cowboys loss. I think that they actually, based on the media narrative and the Giants giving the NFL the blueprint to beat the Cowboys, and the Cowboys have some divisional games coming up, and anything can happen in the division, I think there's a chance the Giants could still win.
I think it depends on what happens between the Lions and the Giants.
That's true, too.
If the Giants win, I'll be rooting for the Bucks hard.
Yep.
If the Lions win, then I'm going to need the Dallas Cowboys to do us a favor.
we're going to need some help.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's see. All right, this is which do you think is a bigger issue for the offense, player execution or play calling? Obviously a vicious cycle. Shout out to Max. I mean, it's a vicious cycle, but I think we both just agreed earlier, if they execute on some of these plays, then kind of the offensive media narrative for their offense is totally different.
Man, like I said, it's execution. Roger Lewis is open. He'd still be running right now. Odell Beckham catches that pass in his sleep. It's execution, man. I know play calling, there's some questionable calls. I get it. I understand. You know, it's definitely not Ben McAdoo has some deserves some, you know, blame, but those are two plays. That's 7 points right there. They would have won the game, you know, 24-7. I don't think anybody would be complaining about the offense if that happened. So it's execution, man. That's the number one problem.
From Josh. If we secure a playoff spot, I think we will. How far do you think this team can go? Going to need more than the defense to survive. Honestly, I think a big part of it is whether or not they finish in the wild card or if they end up winning the division. I think if they end up winning the division and they get these home matchups, I think they can go far. Obviously, it depends on the matchup, which we don't know who it'll be. Some teams are better than the others. The Seahawks scare me. And I don't know. It's really too early to tell.
Yeah, I think it's all about matchups in this thing. What was the question again?
Basically, if we secure a playoff spot, how far do you think the team's going to go?
It's matchups. I don't have confidence going into Seattle, but I have all the confidence in the world going into Dallas for a third time. I don't care if people say that you can't beat a team three times. This giant team is built to beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, it really is.
I want to tell you something.
All right, tell me.
When you always say, oh, they throw money at the problem. They didn't throw money at the problem.
They did.
Man, stop. This is a well-telegraphed free agency. They looked at the Cowboys, and they say, how can I beat Dallas? I need a run stuffer. Damon Harrison across the street. Come on in, sir. I need a guy that can set the edge. JPP, you're not going anywhere. On the other side, I need a guy that can get to the quarterback. I need a guy that can play the run. Olivier Vernon. I need a corner that can cover Dez Bryant. Janoris Jenkins. Listen, I think I've never seen a fan base want to discredit
No. Listen, we're not doing this right now. I will say that what you just said has to be your hottest take since we've started the podcast. Who did they lose? Who did they not want to resign because of injuries? Prince Amukamara. Who was the best available cornerback? Janoris Jenkins. Who did they not have opposite JPP? Another good pass rusher. Who was the best pass rusher? Olivier Vernon. Here's a lot of money. Come on in. What didn't they have? A really good run stopping defensive tackle to play next to Jonathan Hankins. What do they do? Hey, Damon Harrison, best available run-stopping defensive tackle. Come here and play for us. It wasn't based just on the Cowboys.
How come they didn't get a free safety?
Because the ones available weren't that great.
Really?
Yes, really.
You guys are unbelievable. All
right, next question.
When was the last time a GM went out and brought in three guys, matter of fact, two guys, and both those guys are having their best years of their career?
Listen, and credit to Spags for putting them in position to succeed.
You can take your whole week. I'll ask you that question next week again.
Fine, good. I look forward to discussing with you after the Lions.
I'm not even going to say three, just two. Give me two big money free agents.
Fine, I'll go do my research.
$50 million or more.
Okay.
Or
$40 million or more. Come on, it's got to be proportional to cap.
Whatever you say, man. Just give me two free agents that were multi-year contracts that had their best year of their career.
All right. Michael asks, what should be the Giants' priorities in terms of re-signing and signing players this offseason? JPP re-signing. JPP is priority one. I don't want to talk too much about the offseason, but JPP is priority one. I think they should lock up Pugh and Richburg long-term. And then they also got to make sure they got enough cap space for OBJ the year after.
The cap space is, they're saying it's going to go possibly up to 170.
Beautiful.
People got to stop worrying about the salary cap space.
Yeah.
We have a front office that knows how to deal with the cap. Just calm down and let them do it. Simple as that.
Sure. Jeez. Ricky, Jennings
have
versus...
Have trust in your front office.
Yeah. Ricky, Jennings versus Perkins starting. I've already said Perkins.
Perkins.
And I believe that's it. We got a late entry from Zach. If it's not too late for the podcast, do you think Flowers can be fixed at tackle, or is he a lost cause at that position? I think you're more optimistic about it than I am. I think he's toast at tackle. I think he'll be a good guard if he can learn that position and stop training with his father in the offseason.
First of all, he's not toast. He can still learn. It's a mental thing. He's got to learn. Will he learn? Only time will tell. I don't know. But what was the previous question?
Before Zach?
Yeah.
It was just Perkins or Jennings.
Perkins.
Yeah, Perkins. Episode 19 in the books. Guys, follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Audio Boom. And that's about it. We'll speak to you guys next week. Peace.